We think about John's life and how he had resolved to do the will of God, and yet he did find himself in prison, as you know. After having done the will of God, he ends up in prison, and eventually he gets his head chopped off. And so sometimes we think in our minds that if I do the will of God, it's going to always be easy, or it's always going to look the way that I think it should. However, how many know that John is got a tremendous reward that cannot be compared to anything here? You know that there's a special place in heaven for those who are beheaded for their faith in Jesus. So, anyways, who knows what the future is going to hold here, even in America, the way things are happening. There are definite forces out there that want to shut down and shut out the church, and they don't want the Word of God being preached. And so we need to just keep praying, and while we have opportunity, let us do good to all, let us be a witness, let us be a light while we have the day, because the night is coming when no man shall work. And that's why we have a window of opportunity for what God has called us to do. And now's the time to be busy and to bear fruit. And the fruit is out there. It is. It's hanging on the vines. We just have to ask God to direct us and be willing to receive the assignment He gives us, not the one we give ourselves, but the one that He gives us. Whenever we try to give ourselves assignments, we usually bite off more than we can chew. Because it's not within the realm of our anointing. It's something that we thought we wanted to do, but it's not necessarily what God called us to do. But whatever God calls you to do, He's going to provide the grace for you to do it. You'll be able to do it. You'll be able to do it with excellence, because the grace of God will be there. So we just need to be mindful of, Lord, whatever it is, you know, you want me to do. It doesn't have to be some big, lofty, necessarily even visible thing. You know, and that was a good point tonight about John, too. And a lot of the work that God did in John's life was done in a secret place. In fact, in the wilderness. We think of Moses, we think of David, we think of others who spent their time in the wilderness when God was preparing them. And for a season, and for a season, God, they were a bright light. John was a bright light for a season until his time was up. It was his assignment was over. He had kept the faith. He had done the will of God. The same thing is true about you and I. We have a season. We have a certain time, window of opportunity to do the will of God. And then it's over. The time is up, and we're all going to see Jesus someday. And then it's going to be, you did good, or what did you do with what I gave you? And so we just want to be found faithful. We want to be found faithful to the end. There's nothing more important than the will of God. Would you agree? There is just nothing more important than the will of God. So we get to do this. We get to be a part. And because Papa God wants to bless us, He does want to award you and I. He wants to reward us someday. So He gives you an opportunity to be a part. Amen? He gives you an opportunity to partake in this this work of the Lord here below. And why? Because He's a good Father. He's a good Father. You know, it is a joy to serve the Lord, and it should be. We should do this joyfully. We get to do this. We don't have to. We get to. It's not an obligation, like you said. It's really something that we are privileged to do. And so, keeping within the boundaries, keeping within the realm of our influence and our anointing is very important, that we are sober-minded, that we think soberly according to the measure of faith that God has given to each one of us, the measure of grace. I want to just touch on a few things tonight, but there's some teaching out there that God has given to you and I the Spirit without measure. Now, is that biblical? He's given the Spirit to us without measure. Now we know that the Bible says that he gave unto Jesus the Spirit without measure. But he has in the sense that he has poured out his Spirit upon his body, his church. In that sense, he is pouring out his Spirit. However, we're individuals that make up the body. So each one of us have a portion in this. Are you with me? And not that everybody has it all. Because there's some teaching out there, it's bad theology, that teaches people that you have it all, that you have it without measure. No, you have a measure. We all have a measure, but together we complete the work of God. We cannot do it independently of one another, and we must work as a team. As a body must all be working together, each part working, amen, to accomplish the task. So it is with us. We have a measure. We have an anointing. We have a certain realm of influence. We have a level of authority that God has given to each one of us, and it differs depending on your gifting. And each one of us will be responsible to God for what we have received, what gift that is, what we do with the gift that we have. Whether it's one talent or five talents or 10 talents, whatever it is, we have to be found faithful to what God has given us. There are strongholds, two strongholds I want to just talk about tonight. And the first one is the stronghold of bad theology, of wrong teaching. And the other one is the stronghold of self-deception. These are demonic strongholds. Again, in 2 Corinthians 10 and 5, it says that we are to cast down arguments. A reasoning is another word for that. Reasonings. Our reason usually gets us in trouble because God is higher than our reason. His purpose for your life is bigger than what you can reason even. We must draw from the grace of God and to be effective for God. It can't be within my ability, my human ability alone. God's will for our lives is always bigger than we are. And so an argument or an imagination, we are to cast down arguments or imaginations, is another translation calls it. This is rebellious thinking that is contrary to God's word. And every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of Christ. So once again, I want to repeat this. But the devil can oppress a Christian as long as we are defending within us sympathetic thoughts towards evil. Sometimes it's easier just to try to sweep it under the rug, you know, or to make excuses for it than it is to deal with something. We don't like confrontation, and sometimes we don't like the confrontation within us. We don't want to have to deal with stuff, so we just bury our head and hope it'll go away. But it doesn't just go away, folks. There is a responsibility for you and I to repent, to change the way that we think about these things that God points out in our lives. If God says, this is my way, and my way doesn't line up with his way, guess what has to change? I have to change. I have to agree with God. If I choose not to, I'm basically refusing the grace and mercy that he wants to give me. I close the door to his blessing in my life. And for the work of grace that he wants to do in me to set me free. And so if we're sympathetic towards old, you know, thinking habits and thought systems that are in rebellion to God's word, then we allow the devil a place of opportunity to operate in us. Is it making sense?
Yes.
And some of this I'm going to repeat, but I'm going to repeat it until we all really get it. Not only for our benefit, but when you begin to work with other people and you begin to minister to people, you need to know how to help them get free. And God the Holy Spirit will reveal these things to us. He will give you insights. He will give you words of knowledge sometimes about people. What's going on? Often you can ask the person to pray with you and ask God to reveal what the issues are. Where are the strongholds in my life? And God will begin to just, He'll give the person a picture. You may even have a sense of anger rise up if it's a stronghold of anger, or it might be a memory, you know, a thought that pops into your head of, or a person that offended you, you know, in many ways. But we need to cooperate with the Spirit of God in this process of deliverance. Now, I've taken a lot of heat for this topic because of Christians who are well-meant, who love Jesus, but they're, because of theology, certain theology, they cannot accept the fact a Christian can actually be oppressed by the devil. But if this is true, then often what will happen is that people will believe a lie. They will accept a lie, and they will believe that it's just me, possibly, and it can't be the enemy. Now, on the other side of that, some people are so phobic about the devil that they actually invite the devil because they're constantly thinking about him, speaking about him. You talk to them, oh, the devil this, the devil that, you know. No, he's real, he's there. You got to be alert. You can be aware he's there. You don't dwell on him, you dwell on Jesus. You don't magnify him, you magnify Jesus. And when you magnify Jesus, the light of Jesus comes on, and at times he's going to reveal something and show something, and it might be a thought system that you have not submitted to Christ. It may be a high thing that's exalting itself in your understanding or in your heart that you haven't brought under submission to the authority of God's Word. And once we come to a realization that it's there, it is a stronghold. I've struggled with this. I don't seem to be able to get free from this thing. It may be something that requires more of a very deliberate action on your part to repent and agree with God and say, God, wherever it is, if I've sinned against you, if I'm sinning against you in my thought life, forgive me. I renounce that thing right now. I renounce that thought. I cast that thing down. Lord, forgive me. I receive your forgiveness. Having confessed it, you receive that forgiveness. God says he'll forgive you. That's what I base this upon, is his authority, his word. His word says that he will forgive you. So then I let myself off the hook because God said he did. Amen? But once I ask for forgiveness, sometimes you need to take a deliberate step and boot that devil out and say, now you go, you have no longer any right, any authority in me. Go in Jesus' name. And then I say, Holy Spirit, come and fill me up. You got to get filled up. Amen? And you've got to toe the line with the Lord. You got to be careful then. Because if you start compromising again, you're just opening the door. And sometimes the devil will say, come on, boys, here's an opening. We're going to make it worse this time. In fact, James who said, it's better not to have known the way than having known the way to turn from the holy commandment delivered. So it's always wise to listen to what God has to say. Why? Because his commandment is love. His commandment is life. He wants to give you life and life to the full. He wants his people to walk in peace and in freedom, righteousness, peace, and joy. That's the kingdom, amen? Walking in that place where I'm free. I'm not bound, all right? I'm free in Christ. But if I begin to entertain the wrong thinking, and I begin to entertain wrong thoughts, you know, now I'm starting to give liberty to the adversary. Because I'm being sympathetic towards thought systems that God says are wrong. Guys, you know, you're going through the grocery line and there's all these naked women, half naked, staring you in the face. You've got to make a decision. I'm not going to entertain that thought system. Amen? I need to change stations right away. I need to say, Jesus, help! Jesus! 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 Get your eyes off that magazine. Come on. When you start looking at stuff and then you allow your thoughts to go, the next thing you know, you're actually, you know, you're living it out. You start to become sympathetic towards it. And sometimes the sympathy comes in the form of, well, I've tried, I just can't seem to get over it. So I'm just going to resolve to be bound by it. A lot of people do that. They get weary, they give up, they just give into it. There's people that, you know, that have problems, for example, smoking. You know, does God want Christians smoking? No. So what do? We need to deal with it, right? And I'm not here to pick on anybody if you're smoking. I'm just saying that God does not want his people smoking. Why? Because your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. He wants you to take care of your body. I'm not saying it's going to bar you from heaven, but you may not live as long. And it's not a good testimony. You're telling people about Jesus and you get ashtray breath. Come on, it's not a good testimony, right? Amen. Especially if they don't smoke and they're looking at you as if, I don't even smoke. This guy's a Christian. I'm more righteous in the world. That's how they think, see? But we do need to live such good lives that they can't find any dirt on us, right? They can't accuse us of evil doing. But what I'm trying to say about that is that there are people who have tried to overcome addiction, for example. And you know what? Don't give up. If you're dealing with something, God wants you to be free, and God will set you free. It may take a season of time to work out something in your life. However, if you resolve to give in to it and yield to it, then you've given in to the enemy and you've allowed him now a place where he can just stay. He's just going to stay there. Yeah. And he's going to mess you up. So this thing of self-deception, 1 Timothy 4:13, Paul said to Timothy, "Till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, and to teaching. Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the eldership. Meditate," and that word meditate means to revolve in the mind. This is a different type of meditation. It's not the one where you may be speaking or speaking out loud. It's actually to ponder or revolve in your mind. Meditate on these things. 1 Timothy 4:15, "Give yourself entirely to them, that your progress may be evident to all." 1 Timothy 4:16, "Take heed to yourself and to the teaching. Continue in them, for in doing this you will save both yourself," he's talking to Timothy now, "and those who hear you." Doctrine, good doctrine is important, you know. Come on, there's a lot of circles that don't think teaching is all that important, that you need, you know. There's a lot of circles that they may focus on certain things, teach certain things, but folks, we need a balanced diet, amen? And we need teaching. If you're not in Sunday school, you should be. I want to encourage you to come to Sunday school. We're going through the book of Genesis right now. It's a good time to really get into the Word and study and learn together. There's other opportunities, Bible studies, but you need to stay in the doctrine, stay in the Word and the teaching, because there's a lot of deception out there. And a lot of people just accept everything they hear because it may sound good or sound right. But if you're not cultivating a relationship with the Holy Spirit yourself and studying yourself, let that anointing that you've received teach you. Amen? So when you hear something and it's not right, there should be a flag. So Paul's saying, Timothy, continue to read, exhort, amen, encourage and build, and to also to give yourself to teaching, amen, to the doctrines, so that you will save not only yourself, but to others as well, those who hear you. Now, there are many Christians who believe that because I have the Holy Spirit, I cannot be deceived. Let me say this. If we think that we cannot be deceived, we're deceived already. Oh, I was so convinced of things before that later on I realized I was not so right about. But I had to remain teachable in order to escape the snare of the enemy of getting into a place where I'm accepting bad theology as the truth. Because there's a lot of voices, amen? There's a lot of stuff out there. If you watch Christian television, you can get very confused in a very short amount of time. I'm not discouraging that. I'm just saying you've got to be careful of what you're sitting under, what you're listening to. Because there's a lot of voices today, and false teaching or wrong teaching can really mess you up and allow the devil to have a stronghold in your life. And the reason why God gave the Holy Spirit is because we can so easily fall into deception, right? Are you with me? And if we and I ever get to the place where we think we've arrived, then we won't grow and we won't change. That's another problem. There's people that won't grow and they won't change. Are you with me? Because they think that I know enough already. They've arrived, seeing their thinking. And that's also deception, that's self-deception. To think that you cannot be deceived and to think that you've arrived. Or to think that you have all the truth. There are people, there are personalities on the radio who come across as though they have all the truth. And their whole goal is to criticize every ministry under heaven except theirs. So that they set themselves up as being the final authority when it comes to truth. And what they're doing is they're sowing discord in the body of Christ often. And they're causing a lot of divisions, and they're slamming legitimate ministries because they disagree on some point. Why? Because they're operating from the cranial, from the intellectual, from the reason often. And they may know a lot of scripture. That doesn't make you spiritual. It doesn't make you discerning. You need to know the spirit that's operating in the person. Amen. You speak the word, yes, but you need to look below the surface to the spirit of that person. As we hang out together, as we spend time, we get to know each other. Amen? Not just on the surface, but below the surface. We know that we're brothers and sisters. We're fellow Christians. Amen? And so then, if one of us gets off somewhere doctrinally, we go below that and we say, well, the spirit of this person, okay, is one with us. They may have gotten into error somewhere. Hey, as long as we have humility and a correctable spirit, we should be able to learn and grow and realize that we don't know it all. Doesn't matter how long we've been a Christian, we don't know it all. We're learning, we're still in the process of growth. And sometimes God is trying to change our theology. He's trying to change some of our thinking and the ways that we've been taught. And sometimes because of the theology that we've grown up with, people have shut down the flow of God's grace. And this is another deception. It's false teaching. In 2 Timothy 3:5, it says, having a form of godliness, but denying its power. And the word power there is dunamis. It's the same word that we get in Acts 1:8. You shall receive dunamis when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be a witness for me. We cannot adequately preach the gospel except by the Holy Spirit given to us. Amen? Whether we have a great theological background or not, if you have the Spirit of God, hallelujah, you're in a good place. And often God will just download stuff right, you know, like that. When you need it. Sometimes people that don't know much about the Bible will be put on the spot. But if they're willing to call on the Lord and say, Lord, help me, the Lord will come through for them. When I was a new Christian, I didn't know a lot of the Bible. I just, you know, depending on the Holy Spirit, it is amazing how I learned on the spot. God taught me when I was ministering to people. When I was witnessing, He would just give me something that, oh, I didn't think about that. That was pretty good. But He gave me what I needed. And then I actually learned a lot simply by revelation. However, we need to continue in the doctrine, amen, in the scriptures. It's not enough to go by inspiration. You need the scriptures. And sometimes people get into trouble because they go beyond the revelation of God. And in their quest for spiritual things, and for revelation, they get into error. Sometimes people get pretty spooky. Are you with me? Yes. They just get nutty in their quest for revelation. Yeah. The Lord will give to you what you need when you need it. You ask Him for wisdom, He'll give you wisdom. But there are people that are running around from here to there and being tossed to and fro by every wind of teaching because they don't have a ground themselves. They don't have a foundation. They don't know the doctrines. And so they run over here, run over there, and they're getting all kinds of weird stuff. And what do? They run around and they repeat it because it sounded right. It sounded spiritual. And if we think that we cannot be deceived, again, we're deceived already. It doesn't mean the person doesn't even have the Holy Spirit. It just means that we need the Holy Spirit and we need to rely on Him. But you can have the Holy Spirit and still be deceived. Jesus said, if it were possible, the elect will be deceived in the last days. And so, we have this thing called, you've heard it, unbelieving believers. And if an individual continues in wrong teaching, he may eventually solidify his or her own self-deception. In other words, if we're adamant that we're right, you know, come on. We need to handle this cautiously and with humility when we have a teaching or a thought about what we feel God is saying. We still have to always leave room for correction in our own lives. Are you with me? Otherwise, we can gel in that place of deception. And then the people will argue and they will fight to defend their position. And they can be lost in deception. And it happens too often. And again, the self-deceived person does not realize that they're deceived. Right? If you knew you were deceived, then you say, oh, okay, I don't want to be deceived anymore. I want to believe the truth. But a deceived person doesn't realize it. Religious people are self-deceived. They're the ones that have solidified often in a form of godliness, but they lack the substance, which is Christ. I've asked so many people, are you born again? Do you know Jesus? Well, I'm a Catholic. Well, I'm a this. I'm a that. I didn't ask you that. I said, do you know Jesus? You see, I was baptized when I was a baby. Do you know Jesus is the question. But they'll answer with some religious terminology. Or I've gone through confession. I've gone through this. I've gone through that. I've done some type of practice that must have merited some kind of credit with God that He would accept me thereby. And so, you see, that's self-deception. That is religious deception. There are many people who are, you know, they're going through all kinds of rituals, bowing down so many times a day, you know, going to Salt Lake City, you know, once a year on a pilgrimage or whatever, these things that man tells them they need to do or devils tell them they need to do to be right with God. They're self-deceived because they're trying to work for something that God offers freely. They're trying to earn something that cannot be earned. And the reason why is because the sin problem is what separates us from God. Our works are not that which connect us to God. Our works should follow the fact that we are connected to God through the blood of Jesus. But there are many people who are trying and striving and working, even in Pentecostal churches. You know, they're just bound by legalism and do's and don'ts. And if I do enough good. And they're always self-condemned because they know their own heart. God is bigger than our hearts. You need to trust the Lord. And quit striving and quit trying to prove yourself to God. Quit trying to earn credit with God. Receive the merits of Calvary. Receive what Christ has already done for you. That you might go free. In 1 Corinthians 2 and 4, Paul said, my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Oh, you see, another self-deceived person is a person, a religious person who just feels because they went to seminary, or they went to through some type of theological training that somehow that qualifies them for an office. Right? I mean, Jesus told his disciples, I called you and I ordained you that you may go and bear fruit, and that your fruit shall remain. Amen? They didn't go to any seminary, folks. Jesus called them and ordained them, and he sent them. Now, Jesus had taught them. He had taught them, but he was the one who validated them and said, this is who you are. This is, you're being sent by me. I give you authority to go in my name. But there are many who are thinking that if I just go and do this thing, or I go to school. Now, school's important, but school does not qualify you for an office. You must first have the call of God. Amen? You must be called of God first. And then prepare yourself. Amen? And often you're preparing yourself in the process of being faithful in little things he tells you to do day by day. There are some people that, you know, young people that they go to Bible college, and there's nothing wrong with that, but as soon as they're done with the Bible college, they're about 21 years old, still wet behind the ears, and they're in a church now. They have very little life experience. They don't have the maturity, often the character development in them yet. They should sit them down or put them with a senior pastor for a while. Come on. But there's those who just feel that if I just do this or I do that, that this will qualify me for this or that. There are people who are continually running around from seminar to seminar, from this thing to that thing, you know, thinking that that's somehow going to make the difference. Now, I'm not discouraging learning, okay? We need to keep learning. We need to feed ourselves. We need to build ourselves. But you need to understand who you are as to your identity in Christ. Some people are trying to prove themselves by the things that they do. If you know who you are, you don't have to prove yourself. You don't see a tree out there trying to prove itself. I'm an apple tree. I'm an apple tree. Here, look at me. Look at my apples. I'm an apple tree. You drive down the road and there's an apple tree saying, I'm an apple tree. No, people will look and say, now there's an apple tree. Well, how do I know that? There's apples. There's fruit. So let God validate you by simply abiding in Him, being obedient to Him. And understand that it's not, you know, by our religious form or by rituals or things, even sometimes that we do here in this church, that might be have some type of repetition to it. It doesn't have to look like that. You know, we have our song service. And then what comes next? Who knew? See? There's nothing wrong with that. But we need to be flexible in the sense that if God says do it this way.
And there's times that ministry goes before us.
Yeah. Absolutely. Exactly. We may have an altar call right there, right? Before we even get to the preaching part. We may not even get to the preaching part. But we need to be obedient to God, being led by the Spirit. For as much as we think we know this, that we can be wrong. We've got to humble ourselves and be willing to accept changes in our thinking that will enable the life of Christ to flow through our lives and to disarm the adversary in our lives. If we don't agree with God, you know, then you're just going to continue in the same old place. And you know the interpretation of insanity, right? Is continually doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result. And so what we want to do is say, God, what are you doing? I'm going to do that. What are you saying? I'm going to agree with that. What are you speaking? I'm going to speak that. When I'm in agreement with God, I'm opening the way for His grace in my life. And when I agree with God, truth is exalted. Truth is light. Light exposes darkness. Once the enemy has been exposed, amen, then you can deal with him. You can cast him out. You can tell him to go. But if you are sympathetic towards thought systems that are contrary to the Word of God, then you're allowing him to continue to operate in your life. And God wants you to be free. He wants to set you free, but he'll never violate your will. It's your choice whether you're going to agree with God or not. How many have discovered it's always better to agree with God?
Yes.
And that's what John, again, I will repeat this a lot, what John said, prepare the way of the Lord. Prepare the way of the Lord. We are preparing the way of the Lord. We are acknowledging that it is His way is the way everlasting. His way is the way of life. And so we are being transformed in our thinking and in the spirit of our mind. We are being changed in our thought systems. They're beginning to align up with His thoughts. Amen? And when we agree with His thoughts and we meditate, think on, speak on, do, amen, what He shows us, then we are in alignment with the Spirit of God, and we've made a way for God to download into us His grace, His mercy, and for God to use us also to go and to help others get free. So first things first, I need to get free before I can help somebody else out. Amen? I need to get the beam out of my eye before I can help my brother get the sliver out of his. And so, thank God you're here tonight, because that's just where you're at. You and I are here because we are willing to cooperate with God. You are the church. You are the ones that said, you know, we're here because we want to serve Jesus. We want to serve Jesus. I want to serve Jesus. And so I want to learn how to be more effective. And I want the revelation of God, the truth of God that sets me free. It's not enough just to hear the truth. There has to be an agreement with the truth. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.